Imagine for a second checking your bank account and realizing you are like $20 poorer today simply because your heart beat a little too fast while you're watching a horror movie on your laptop last night.
Oh, that is just brutal.
Right. Your smartwatch literally noticed you jump out of your seat and it just decided to charge you for the adrenaline rush.
Yeah, that's a wild thought.
It really is. So welcome to the Deep Dive, customized specifically for your curious mind. Today is May 9th, 2026. And our source material today is the latest edition of the Techin Morning Tech Newsletter.
And it is a packed issue.
It is a massive stack of news. I mean, within just the last 24 hours, the technology landscape has crossed several really bizarre thresholds. We're talking ranging from mind-bending hardware breakthroughs to some truly wild privacy implications. And our mission today is to figure out exactly how these shifts are about to alter your daily digital life. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it. It really is a fascinating convergence this week. If there's, you know, one overarching theme tying all these disparate events together, it's the rapid collapse of the boundary between our physical bodies, human creativity, and the digital economy.
Yeah, the lines are totally blurring.
Well, exactly. But it's not just blurring anymore. We are looking at a moment where the line separating the biological human and the digital machine isn't just, you know, fading, it's being actively engineered out of existence.
I want to start right there, actually, with the physical realm, because two pieces of consumer hardware just dropped that, I think, perfectly capture this weird contradiction we're currently living in.
Right, the Razer and Haptex announcements.
Exactly. First up, Razer announced their new Blade 16 laptop for 2026. And the absolute headline feature here is that it has zero moving parts. Like, there are absolutely no fans inside this machine.
Which, honestly, is an incredible feat of engineering, because we need to remember what's actually inside this laptop.
Right, it's a beast.
It is. It's running an Intel Core Ultra 9 processor and an NVIDIA RTX 5090 graphics card. Historically, I mean, these chips are notoriously power hungry, and they generate just an immense amount of heat.
Oh, yeah.
The fundamental bottleneck for high-end computing for the last 30 years has been thermal throttling. When a chip gets too hot, it has to slow itself down to avoid literally melting its own silicon.
Right. So you usually use those massive, loud plastic fans to aggressively push that hot air out.
Right.
But wait, hold on. You cannot run an RTX 5090 without exhaust fans.
You wouldn't think so, no.
I mean, it would literally melt the laptop chassis into slag on your desk. How does having zero moving parts not result in a complete catastrophic meltdown?
It's all thanks to a new technology called solid-state active cooling. It was developed by a company called Fora Systems.
Okay.
They created something they called the AirJet. So instead of spinning plastic blades, they use these ultrasound microchips.
Ultrasound.
Yeah. Inside these chips are tiny vibrating membranes that pulse at over 20,000 hertz. That rapid vibration creates something called acoustic streaming.
Acoustic streaming. Okay. What is that?
It basically acts like a microscopic vacuum.
Yeah.
It sucks cool air in and shoots hot air out through incredibly tiny channels.
So it's essentially like a solid-state dog whistle that somehow functions as a high-powered air conditioner.
That is actually a highly accurate way to visualize it. Because it's vibrating at 20,000 hertz, it is completely inaudible to human ears.
Wow.
It runs at literally zero decibels. And because there's no mechanical friction from a spinning motor, the failure rate just plummets.
That's crazy.
Right. It allows Razer to make this laptop 40% thinner while somehow improving the battery life by 60%.
Okay, but here is the massive contradiction that I want to unpack with you.
Okay, let's hear it.
On one hand, we have this ultrasonic wizardry to completely eliminate the physical noise and annoyance of our environment, right?
Yeah.
We are perfectly sanitizing our physical gaming space.
Yeah, making it completely silent.
Exactly. But on the exact same day, a company called Haptec X releases a $399 consumer VR suit. And the entire purpose of this suit is to intentionally inflict physical pain on your body.
Yeah, they market it heavily as haptic immersion. But functionally, yes, it forces your physical nervous system to register digital impacts.
It is wild. They're using 40 individual haptic motors embedded in a mesh suit, sending electrical pulses directly into your chest, your back, and your arms.
And it's not a gentle pulse either.
No. The newsletter notes it simulates temperatures from 15 degrees Celsius up to a sweltering 45 degrees. And those electrical pulses, they range from 1 to 10 milliamps.
Which is significant.
Yeah, for some context, 10 milliamps is not just a little static shock from a doorknob. That is enough electrical current to cause a severe, painful muscle contraction.
Yeah, it's intense.
There's actually a story in the source material about a tester playing the VR game Half-Life. When an alien head crab jumped on them, they literally felt the weight and the impact land on their chest.
Oh.
And when their character got shot, they felt real, localized physical pain.
I just have to ask, like, why are we just trading one sensory annoyance for another?
It's a fair question.
I mean, we silence the laptop fan just so we can hear ourselves scream when our vest shocks us.
I know it sounds totally counterintuitive, but what's fascinating here is how it actually perfectly aligns with the trajectory of tech right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's about total mastery over the physical realm.
Total mastery. How so?
Well, look at the broader implications of the Fora cooling system. It isn't just about giving you a quiet living room. Fora Systems private stock jumped 45% yesterday.
Really? Just from a laptop?
Exactly. Not just the laptop.
Right.
Because if you scale solid-state cooling up, you apply it to massive enterprise data centers.
Ah, I see where this is going.
Right. Data centers spend about 70% of their operational budget just on air conditioning to keep servers from overheating. If you deploy solid-state cooling, you restructure how the entire internet manages heat.
Okay, that makes sense. And haptics. Haptex is doing the exact same thing, but in reverse. They are restructuring how the internet manages physical sensation, moving it from enterprise military training directly into consumer homes for under $400.
It really is a two-way street, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Haptex uses electricity to force a physical sensation onto your body, but platforms are starting to realize they can reverse that flow.
Oh, yes, they are.
They can harvest your physical, involuntary reactions to fuel the digital economy. Which brings us to the absolute dystopia that Twitch just unleashed.
Twitch's new neurotip feature. It is easily the most debated privacy story of the year.
Seriously. If you wear an Apple Watch, a Fitbit, or a Galaxy Watch while you are listening to this, Twitch's new feature wants to tap into the pulse on your wrist.
That's incredibly invasive.
They just launched a trial in the U.S. and Canada where you connect your smartwatch to the Twitch app. The algorithm monitors your heart rate in real time. And if your heart rate spikes, let's say it hits 140 beats per minute because you get spooked or incredibly excited during a live stream, the algorithm automatically donates anywhere from 100 to 500 bits directly to the streamer.
Without you pressing a button.
Automatically. That translates to about $1 to $5 instantly pulled from your linked wallet. It is literally a physiological tax.
This raises an important question, though, regarding biometric privacy, because the mechanics of this are what make it so unprecedented.
Right.
Historically, you know, the entire digital economy has been built on conscious actions, clicks, views, likes, subscriptions. Even if it's a mindless habit, there is a physical action you take.
You still have to click the mouse.
Exactly. Neurotip bypasses conscious consent entirely. It is utilizing your autonomic nervous system as the explicit trigger for a financial transaction.
One user highlighted in the newsletter actually reported losing $15 in a single hour just from getting jump scared repeatedly during a horror game stream.
That is just awful.
And within 6 hours of this announcement, 250,000 people were tweeting the hashtag delete Neurotip. Now, Twitch's defense is that it's, quote, optional.
Yeah, they always say that.
Right. They claim you have to opt in, you can set a daily financial maximum, and there's an emergency stop button. But I have a hard time buying that defense.
Why is that?
Well, what if I naturally have a high resting heart rate? What if I just, you know, drank a double espresso? I am being financially penalized for my biology. If our biological reflexes bypass our conscious financial consent, aren't we basically becoming human ATM machines? Triggered by adrenaline?
That is a great way to put it. It introduces a biological dark pattern into the ecosystem.
The dark pattern is?
A standard dark pattern is like a user interface designed to trick you into clicking something you didn't mean to. This is monetizing involuntary biology.
That's terrifying.
And the major concern from privacy advocates isn't just the user's wallet. It's the behavioral shift this will inevitably cause in the content creators.
Oh, because they'll try to trigger it.
Exactly. Streamers are now directly financially incentivized to farm physiological responses. They will deliberately engineer their content using sudden loud noises, manufactured drama, or, you know, explicit visuals specifically to artificially inflate your heart rate.
But why is Twitch suddenly so desperate to extract these genuine involuntary physical reactions from us? I mean, I think it's precisely because the internet is currently drowning in a sea of artificial non-human content.
That is absolutely the driver here.
Which perfectly transitions us to the massive authenticity war that just broke out between YouTube, Sony, and the entire AI industry.
The sheer volume of synthetic media has finally reached a critical mass. In 2025, over 40% of the new content uploaded to YouTube was entirely generated by artificial intelligence.
40%. That is almost half of all new videos.
Yeah. And this flood of synthetic content has drastically diluted platform quality. And more importantly for YouTube, it has created immense pressure from major advertisers.
Because they don't want their ads on that stuff.
Right. Advertisers refuse to have their brands placed next to low-effort AI sludge.
So YouTube just dropped an absolute hammer. As of May 8th, 2026, YouTube is instantly demonetizing any AI video that lacks a C2PA hardware-level cryptographic watermark.
It's a huge shift.
No warnings. No transition periods.
Yeah.
If you don't have it, your ad revenue goes to zero immediately, and you are basically banished from the recommendation algorithm.
And we really need to clarify what C2PA actually means here, because it is the linchpin of this entire policy.
Please do, yeah.
C2PA stands for the Coalition for Content Provenance and Authenticity. This is not a visual watermark. It's not a little logo in the corner of the screen that you can just crop out.
Let me stop you there, actually, because my first thought when I read this was, couldn't I just take an AI video, play it on my monitor, and, like, use my phone to record the screen?
Mm-hmm.
Or just run it through some compression software to strip all the metadata out? How does this actually stop anyone?
That is exactly why visual or standard metadata watermarks failed in the past. C2PA is a digital certificate embedded at the hardware and cryptographic level.
Okay.
When a camera records a video or an authorized software renders a frame, it generates a cryptographic hash. It's a complex mathematical signature tied to the actual arrangement of pixels.
Like a fingerprint.
Exactly. It acts like a digital nutritional label baked directly into the code. It tracks the exact origin. Was this shot on a physical camera sensor? What specific software edited it? Which frames were altered?
Wow, it tracks all of that.
Yeah. So even if you screen record it or heavily compress the file, the underlying cryptographic structure of the pixel data can still be referenced against the original hash. If the hashes don't match or if there's no human origin certificate, YouTube's system flags it instantly.
The fallout from this policy is just staggering. I mean, the newsletter notes that almost 588,000 channels are at risk.
It's a massive purge.
They mentioned one specific channel with 588,000 subscribers that went from making $30,000 a month to absolutely zero overnight.
Overnight.
Now, a big driver of YouTube doing this right now is the looming EU AI Act, specifically Article 50. Which legally mandates that all AI content be clearly marked by August of 2026.
Right, they're aggressively getting ahead of the legal hammer.
Exactly. But YouTube isn't the only giant drawing a line in the sand today. Over in the gaming industry, there is a massive philosophical civil war happening right now regarding human labor.
The contract there is stark. On one side, you have companies like Ubisoft, who recently fired 50% of their quality assurance team. That is 1,200 human workers to replace them with automated AI testing software.
That's rough.
And publishers like EA and Activision are following suit, laying off hundreds of developers to integrate AI generation into their core production pipelines.
But Sony just held a major financial conference and took the exact opposite stance.
They really did.
They boldly stated that AI will only ever be a tool to assist human artists. Never replace them. In fact, while everyone else was laying people off, Sony hired over 2,000 people in 2025.
Bucking the trend entirely.
Yeah, they are strictly limiting AI to background procedural generation, like generating the thousands of trees in a forest or hunting for bugs in the background code. But they insist that human artists, human writers, and human testers will always hold the final say.
It is a very calculated move. AI models operate on probability. They predict the next most likely word or the most likely pixel based on past data.
Right.
They are incredibly efficient at volume, but they fail entirely at nuance. AI cannot QA test the emotional pacing of a cinematic cutscene or the precise, satisfying physical weight of a combat mechanic.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. I see the angle, but I have to push back on Sony's motives here.
Oh, how so?
Are they actually being the noble protectors of human art, or is this just brilliant marketing? I mean, Sony's entire brand identity is built on premium, human-crafted prestige games.
Like The Last of Us.
Exactly, The Last of Us, Spider-Man. Do they just know the only way they can justify charging gamers $70 or $80 for a single game is by making sure they can slap a certified human label on the box?
You are absolutely identifying the core economic reality there. Whether YouTube is protecting its advertiser revenue from low-quality AI sludge, or Sony is protecting its premium brand prestige, both megacorporations have realized the exact same thing.
Which is?
That provable humanity is rapidly becoming the most valuable commodity in the entire tech industry. In a market flooded with infinite free AI content, human effort becomes the ultimate premium luxury.
That's a profound shift. Think about your own media diet today as you're listening to this. As you scroll through your feeds, if you know that 40% of what you're seeing was basically hallucinated by a server farm somewhere, does a certified human badge make a video or a video game inherently more valuable to you?
It probably does.
Right. But here is where the dominoes really start to fall. Provable humanity requires human artists. But generating all that endless AI spam, that requires unbelievable amounts of hardware.
It certainly does.
Which brings us to the final painful realization of the week. Why the physical cost of the digital world is about to empty your wallet.
The physical infrastructure required to power this AI revolution is completely buckling. We are seeing the real-world supply chain buckle under the insatiable hunger for processing power.
And everyday consumers are the ones absorbing that shock.
Yes, unfortunately.
Case in point, at that exact same financial conference where Sony announced their pro-human stance, they also announced they are raising the price of the PlayStation 5 globally by $150.
That is a massive hike.
Huge. The standard PS5 is now $599, and the PS5 Pro is a staggering $849. And the reason for this price hike is deeply intertwined with everything we've talked about today.
Sony was basically forced into this move because the global price of DRAM and NAND memory chips spiked by an incredible 40% in just the first quarter of 2026.
Now, I want to clarify something here, because whenever we talk about AI hardware, everyone always points to the graphics cards, right?
The massive GPUs from NVIDIA.
Exactly. And so why is memory suddenly the bottleneck that is ruining the console market?
It comes down to how large language models and AI video generators actually function. These models have hundreds of billions of parameters.
Okay.
To generate a single coherent sentence or render a fake YouTube video, the servers have to pull massive portions of that model into high-speed short-term memory.
Which is the DRAM.
Exactly, the DRAM. They do this so the processors can access it instantly.
Yeah.
You need unimaginable amounts of memory bandwidth. So data centers are hoarding every memory chip they can secure to build the servers that run the AI models that are currently flooding platforms like YouTube.
Oh, wow. So the AI data centers are quite literally starving the global supply chain of memory chips.
Yes.
And if you add to that the ongoing geopolitical tensions, American sanctions, restructuring supply routes, and the recent earthquakes in Taiwan shutting down critical fabrication plants, you have a perfect storm.
You really do.
The newsletter notes Sony's internal data projected a $191 million loss if they didn't raise console prices to offset the cost of the memory chips.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the entire technological ecosystem we have unpacked today is one massive interconnected loop.
How do you mean?
Well, the solid-state ultrasound cooling from Razer that we started with, that exact technology is desperately needed to cool down the massive data centers that are hoarding all the memory.
Oh, right.
And the flood of AI sludge on YouTube. That software is the very reason those memory prices are skyrocketing in the first place. The digital world has very real, very heavy physical costs.
And gamers are furious. I mean, forums are exploding with people threatening to abandon PlayStation entirely and migrate to PC or Xbox.
I'm not surprised.
Sony stock dropped 3.2% immediately after the announcement. Industry analysts are even sounding the alarm that the PlayStation 6 might be severely delayed because of this hardware bottleneck.
That's a real possibility.
If AI was supposed to make our lives cheaper, faster, and more efficient, it is incredibly ironic that it is literally pricing the average person out of buying a video game console. The hidden cost of the AI revolution isn't just abstract job losses at game studios. It is printed right there on the price tag of your next tech purchase.
It serves as a stark reminder that software, no matter how ethereal or cloud-based it seems, is entirely dependent on hardware. And that hardware is strictly bound by the physical limits of our planet's resources.
Okay. There's only so much silicon.
Exactly. We are feeling the economic friction of a world trying to process more synthetic data than it has the physical silicon to support.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this all home. We have covered a dizzying amount of ground today. On one hand, our personal environment is becoming beautifully quiet and refined, like Razer's fanless laptop.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, our tech is becoming vastly more physically invasive. We have Haptech sending localized shockwaves into your chest, and Twitch acting as a biometric toll booth, just siphoning cash directly from the rhythm of your heart.
And as that boundary between human and machine disintegrates, we are witnessing authenticity pivot into the ultimate luxury brand.
Certified human.
Exactly. Platforms and studios are desperately drawing cryptographic boundaries to protect human creativity. Yet, the raw physical infrastructure required to power this artificial future is severely straining global economics, pushing the costs directly onto the consumer.
It is the ultimate paradox. We are spending billions of dollars building machines that act like humans, and as a result, we now have to prove to the machines that we are humans.
It's a strange time to be alive.
It really is.
Yeah.
Which leaves me with one final thought for you to mull over today. We just talked about YouTube mandating cryptographically sealed human watermarks on digital content to prove a video wasn't made by a bot.
Right.
And we talked about Twitch tapping into the smartwatch on your wrist to monitor your biological pulse. If you follow those two trajectories to their logical collision point, how long until we are the ones required to provide a biological watermark?
Wow.
How long until you have to provide a real-time pulse or an active retinal scan just to log onto the internet to prove your provable humanity? And when your involuntary biometric data becomes the foundational currency of the digital realm, who exactly owns the copyright to your heartbeat? Stay curious, stay human, and keep asking questions.